Marriage Today presents Spirit Empowered by Jimmy Evans.
I want to talk about the power of the Holy Spirit. Last week, we talked about being Spirit-centered and about letting the Holy Spirit come into our lives and to give us the ability to live for God. But today, I want to talk about the power of the Holy Spirit giving us not just the ability to live for God, but the ability to overcome sin, to overcome Satan, and to totally fulfill God's will for our lives that can only happen when we're surrendered to the Holy Spirit. This is Acts chapter 1, begins with verse 4. It says, "And being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which, he said, you have heard from me, for John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? And he said to them, it is not for you to know the times or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria, and to the end of the earth." Now, let me first of all say that this Jesus was resurrected 40 days ago when he's making these comments here. He's talking to the disciples. And so he has been resurrected walking after his resurrection for 40 days. And he's appeared to hundreds of disciples. And now, when he says this, he's just about to ascend into heaven. And he tells them, wait. For another 10 days, he says, not many days from now, it's going to be 10 more days, the Feast of Pentecost is going to come, and Acts chapter 2 records that they were together in the upper room, and the Holy Spirit descended, and they began to speak in tongues, the power of God came, and they were then empowered to fulfill the Great Commission. That's what Jesus said. You'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and then you'll be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the world. And so this was not just a life-changing experience for them, it was a church-changing experience that literally birthed the New Testament church. And I want to say, they were already saved. These disciples believed in Jesus. They were already saved. They had been walking with the resurrected Christ. And so after salvation, before Jesus' ascension into heaven, he commands them to wait on the Holy Spirit so that they will receive power. And that word means dunamis, and it really has two main definitions. The first is moral excellence. It means to make us like God. When Jesus said, the Holy Spirit will come upon you and you'll receive power, the first meaning of that is he will give us the ability to act like God, to live like God, to represent God. The second definition of dunamis, power, is the ability to do the works of God, not just to act like God, but Jesus said, greater things than this you will do because I go to my Father. And so Jesus gave us a legacy of power, not just hanging on by our fingernails until he returns and living some weak, meaningless life, but being overcomers and being victorious and taking the kingdom by force and overcoming the gates of hell. That is our birthright as believers, is to live our lives Spirit-empowered. So I want to talk in this message about four important truths about the Holy Spirit, things that we need to understand about the Holy Spirit in order to live the way that we should and to relate to him the way that we should. The first is this, very importantly, the Holy Spirit is God. The Holy Spirit is not just a force. Some people teach that the Holy Spirit is just an impersonal force and he's not God. No, he is equal to God the Father and God the Son. This is Genesis 1:2, and it says, "The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters." And so the Holy Spirit is God. He is co-equal and co-eternal with God the Father and God the Son. In Matthew chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, we see this beautiful picture of the Trinity. And the Trinity is the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Our God, three persons, one God in three persons. And so you can't completely understand it, but you certainly cannot explain it away. It has got to be received as an act of faith, but the Bible talks about it from Genesis to Revelation. In Matthew chapter 3, Jesus is standing in the Jordan River. The Holy Spirit descends on him like a dove, and a voice comes from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." In one scene there in Matthew 3, you have the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And so the Holy Spirit is God. When we relate to the Holy Spirit, Jesus said, "It's better for you that I go away, because if I go away, I'll send the Holy Spirit back to you." And he's called the Spirit of Jesus, the Spirit of God. He is God. And so when we have a relationship with God, it means we have a relationship with the Holy Spirit. And he puts us in touch with the Father. He puts us in touch with Jesus. He lets us understand more fully the full character and dimension of God in our lives. But he is God. It's important to understand. The second important truth about the Holy Spirit is we are born of the Spirit at the moment of salvation. And so, you know, sometimes people say, well, does every believer have the Holy Spirit? The answer is absolutely. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ, you have the Holy Spirit. You've been born of the Spirit. This is John chapter 3. Jesus answered, "Most assuredly, I say, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit." Well, Adam and Eve were in the Garden of Eden, and they were there, and God created Adam and Eve, and the Bible records that he breathed life into Adam's nostrils, and of course Eve's when he created her. But he breathed life into his nostrils. That wasn't just oxygen. That was his spirit. Adam was a living soul. He had a living spirit, and he was alive. But God warned them, and God said, if you eat of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, he said, in the day that you eat of that tree, of that fruit, you'll die. And they did. They didn't fall over dead physically, and they didn't die mentally or emotionally. They fell dead spiritually. Their spirit died. When Jesus said you have to be born again, what he was saying is, until your spirit is born again, you can't have a relationship with God. You can't understand the things of God until your spirit is born again. So when we receive Jesus Christ into our lives and when we're saved, our spirit is born again. Literally, it is born of the Spirit. And so every person who is a believer has the Spirit in their lives, and it really is preposterous to think otherwise. And sometimes, you know, charismatics or Pentecostals that are maybe a little prideful would say, well, we have the Spirit. You know, well, we're the people of the Spirit, but other people, you know, other denominations or other people, they don't have the Spirit. Well, all believers have the Spirit. And so we receive it when we get saved. I want to say this, though. This is the third truth, and that is being baptized in the Holy Spirit is a separate and subsequent experience to salvation. Everyone that is saved has the Holy Spirit, but there's a difference between receiving the Holy Spirit at salvation and receiving the Holy Spirit when you're baptized in the Holy Spirit. Remember, the disciples were saved in Acts chapter 1. They knew Jesus intimately. They walked with him every day. So they were saved. But Jesus said, tarry in Jerusalem until you're filled with power. Not tarry in Jerusalem until you get saved. Let me say this. Salvation is not about the Holy Spirit. You can be saved without ever hearing about the Holy Spirit. I was saved, radically saved. I had never heard of the Holy Spirit in my life. That the only time I had ever heard the Holy Spirit referenced was in the doxology where they talked about Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. So I had no knowledge of the Holy Spirit, but I didn't have to. You can be saved just by knowing about Jesus and by receiving Jesus in your life. But after you get saved, it can be 10 minutes after you get saved, 10 days after you get saved, 10 months or 10 years. After you get saved, there is an experience that Jesus said. John came baptizing with water, but you're going to be baptized in the Holy Spirit not many days from now. And baptized means to be immersed. Here's an analogy that I would use, and that is when you get saved, it's like you drink a glass of water of life, and something that hasn't been in you before to give you life is now come in, and that's the Holy Spirit of God. And now you're born again. Your spirit is born again, and you're saved, and you're on your way to heaven. but you're not ready to live a victorious life until you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. The difference in salvation and baptism of the Holy Spirit is the difference in drinking a glass of water and getting thrown into the lake. Baptism of the Holy Spirit is being completely immersed in the Spirit of God. And baptism of the Holy Spirit isn't about Jesus. That's salvation. Baptism of the Holy Spirit is about the Holy Spirit and receiving Him and depending on Him to live our lives victoriously. That's what He said. Wait for the Holy Spirit, and when He comes, He will give you power to be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the uttermost parts of the world. The issue wasn't salvation. They were already saved. The issue was being able to fulfill God's will for our lives in a very difficult and dangerous world. Peter is an example. Peter was a coward. I mean, just a little over a month ago, he had cussed out a little girl that tried to finger him as being one of the disciples. Now, 10 days later, his shadow is healing people, and he's boldly proclaiming the gospel. He was on his way to heaven. The problem is he wasn't prepared to live this life properly. And I'll just tell you, there are a lot of Christians, and I was one of them, who believe in Jesus. They're devoted Christians, but they're not prepared to live the Christian life because they've never surrendered to the Holy Spirit and received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Now, I want to go back to my point of saying it's a separate experience. It's a subsequent experience to salvation, be it 10 minutes later or 10 years later. And let me prove this to you. First of all, Acts chapter 1, the saved disciples are commanded to tarry in Jerusalem until they're filled with power from the Holy Spirit. But listen to these scriptures. This is Acts chapter 8 describing the Samaritans who are already saved and baptized in water but have not received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 8, verse 12. But when they believed Philip as he preached the things concerning the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus Christ, both men and women were baptized. Then Simon himself was also believed. And when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and was amazed, seeing the miracles and signs which were done. Now when the apostles who were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them, who, when they had come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. For as yet he had fallen upon none of them. They had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then they laid hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. Well, there's a record right there of Philip goes down, preaches the gospel. They believe, they're water baptized, but they haven't received the baptism of the Holy Spirit until the apostles come down and lay their hands on them. Then they receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Salvation, water baptism, baptism of the Holy Spirit. Now this is Acts 19, and these are the Ephesians. And it happened while Apollos was at Corinth that Paul, having passed through the upper regions, came to Ephesus. And finding some disciples, he said to them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" So they said to him, "We have not so much as heard whether there is a Holy Spirit." And he said to them, "Into what then were you baptized?" They said, "Into John's baptism." Then Paul said, "John indeed baptized with a baptism of repentance, saying to the people that they should believe on him who would come after him, that is, Christ Jesus." When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke with tongues and prophesied. Now again, here is an example of they didn't even hear about the Holy Spirit when they got saved. They didn't even know that there was a Holy Spirit. And so when they are listening now to Paul as he comes down, and he said, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" Well, we don't even know if there is a Holy Spirit. It says, then they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. That's water baptism. I want you to listen to me. In Matthew 28, Jesus commanded that we baptize people in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. When they said that they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus, that's what happened. They were water baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That's what is being referred to. But they had not even heard of the Holy Spirit. And so evidently, Paul and some of the apostles were finding a lot of people who had been saved, but they weren't being told about the Holy Spirit. And so they come upon this group of believers and they say, "Hey, did anybody tell you about the Holy Spirit yet?" And they say, "Well, who's the Holy Spirit?" They laid their hands on them. They received the baptism of the Holy Spirit and they began to speak in tongues and prophesy. Let me give you one more example of this that I think is really, really powerful. And it's the Feast of Israel. That in the Old Testament, God commanded Israel to observe seven feasts. And four of these feasts were in the spring, three of these feasts were in the fall. And the first three feasts are the salvation feasts. These feasts are a prophetic grid that show us God's plan for our lives and the way He wants us to live our lives. And the first three feasts were fulfilled by Jesus Christ. It is the feast of Passover, the feast of unleavened bread, and the feast of first fruits. Jesus died exactly on Passover. He was buried exactly on unleavened bread, and He rose again exactly on first fruits. It all happened in 3 days as an exact fulfillment of the prophetic grid of the feast of Israel. So we were saved by Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. Then 50 days later, there was another feast, and that was the feast of Pentecost when the Holy Spirit came. The first three feasts were fulfilled by Jesus. Those are the feasts of salvation. 50 days later, separately, it was the feast of impartation. The Holy Spirit came and gave them power because after Pentecost came all the planting and growing season, the summer months, the time when Israel went into the field and they planted and they hoed and they plowed and they tended and they weeded all of the crops that they were tending. And so they were being prepared in Pentecost to go then all through the growing season to the harvest. And so then you had three more feasts that came in the fall of the year, the final feast. These were the glorification feasts. This was trumpets and atonement and tabernacles, the last three feasts of the year. These were fulfilled by God the Father. Trumpets is when He sends Jesus, because trumpets is when all of Israel was called out of the harvest. One day God the Father is going to send Jesus to get us His bride and call us out of the harvest. Jesus said, I don't know when that day is, only my Father knows. And so when the weddings happened in Israel, the Father told His Son when to go get the bride. So the last three feasts of the year are the glorification feasts that are fulfilled by the Father. Three feasts, the first three feasts, Jesus fulfilled, Feast of Salvation, Pentecost, 50 days later, Feast of Impartation to prepare them for the work, the last three feasts, the Feast of Glorification fulfilled by the Father. If we're saved by Jesus, we need to be empowered by the Holy Spirit so that we can go into the fields and be witnesses for Him and endure hardship and difficulty and heat and weeds and insects and all those things. And if we live our lives that way, one day we're going to be happy when God comes and we have something to show for it. Souls that have been saved, a life that's been lived for victory. And so I'm saying to you, if you're saved, if you're not saved, obviously you need to get saved. But if you're saved, there's another experience. It's called the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And here's my fourth truth about the Holy Spirit. It is impossible to fulfill God's will for our lives without the fullness of the Holy Spirit. It's impossible. Jesus was filled with the Holy Spirit. In Matthew chapter 3, when He was in the Jordan River, the Holy Spirit descended upon Him like a dove, and even Jesus didn't try to serve God without being filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. He lived His life under the power of the Holy Spirit and ministered under the power of the Holy Spirit, as did the apostles, as did the people of the New Testament that made a difference in the world, and really, as have everyone who's made a difference for God in this life. And so you can't possibly, it's what I said last week, you're going to hear me say it a lot in this series, you can't possibly live and do God's will apart from the Holy Spirit. We were designed to live under the power of the Holy Spirit. God never had any intention that humanity would try to accomplish anything for Him without the power of the Holy Spirit. Well, let me tell you my testimony. And I've told you my testimony about getting saved. Well, when I was 19, I received Christ as Lord of my life. And so I lost all my friends. I began to try to follow God and to read my Bible and go to church and do my best to serve the Lord. And I just want to say I meant it. I was not going to go back, but I had a really, really difficult time living for God. I knew all the things that I shouldn't do and all the things that I should do. And every day I woke up and I prayed, you know, God, I want to do the right things and I don't want to do the wrong things, but I struggled. I was disappointed constantly with my inability to do the right things and not to do the wrong things. And I had a hard time reading the Bible. I had a hard time praying. I just had a hard time in my Christian life. And I want to say this very honestly. I kind of felt trapped. I mean, I kind of felt gypped, honestly. I just thought, you know, I don't want to go back. Jesus, I believe in you. I don't regret getting saved, but is this all there is? I mean, I'm going to live the rest of my life just struggling like this. I'm not going to go back into the world, but is there anything else? And as far as I knew, there wasn't anything else until I started reading the Bible and I started reading scriptures about the Holy Spirit, like Acts chapter 1. You'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And I thought, I like that. Who's the Holy Spirit? I mean, I was reading these scriptures on my own. I was reading in the Gospel of John where Jesus said, when the Holy Spirit comes, He'll lead you into all truth. He'll remind you of me. He'll comfort you. All of these things that the Bible said the Holy Spirit would do. I'd never heard of the Holy Spirit. And so we were in a church, that wonderful church, but they didn't teach about the Holy Spirit. They didn't believe in the contemporary operation of the gifts of the Spirit and things like that. I didn't know that. I really never paid attention in church, and I was a new believer. So one Sunday, Karen and I went to Sunday school class, and they kind of had a time for questions and answers. And I asked the question, who's the Holy Spirit? And what's this in the Bible about speaking in tongues and things like that? Well, it didn't go over well. I just want to say that. Everybody got really embarrassed. The teacher just turned red. I knew that I had said something horribly wrong. I didn't know what it was. And he didn't answer my question. And honestly, what I was thinking in the back of my mind is, why does the Bible embarrass my Sunday school teacher? I mean, I thought it was kind of strange. And after class, I mean, I walked out honestly, and I said to Karen, did I say something wrong? Did I cuss? Because, you know, it hadn't been that long until I had cussed. I mean, I'd just gotten saved. And I thought, well, maybe I asked the question. I accidentally said a horrible word. Maybe I have something on my face. You know, I don't know what I did wrong. And she said, Jimmy, I didn't hear you say anything wrong. And this girl, another girl in the class, another woman in the class, walked up to Karen and said, we speak in tongues and we're baptized in the Holy Spirit. And she said, I want to talk to you. So Karen and her got together that week and they talked, and she talked about what Jimmy asked about is something that we've experienced, but this church doesn't believe in. And so through those friends, we started going to a camp called Camp Farthest Out. And we all kind of snuck down there to that Camp Farthest Out. And it's the first time I ever heard speaking in tongues. It's the first time I ever saw anybody lift their hands and worship God. It's the first time I ever saw healing or the power of God in operation. My arm was healed, and I didn't believe in healing. My friend drugged me down to a service one night where they were praying for, you know, healing, and I said, there's nothing wrong with me. He said, well, sure, there's something wrong with you. And I said, well, my arm's kind of crooked. I went down there, and it was healed. And I didn't even believe in it. But I saw the power of God work, and I wanted to live a victorious Christian life. And I heard preaching about the baptism in the Holy Spirit. And I prayed, Lord, baptize me in the Holy Spirit. But it didn't happen immediately. And one night we were invited to go to Full Gospel Businessmen's meeting to hear Howard Knanser, who had been a Baptist pastor, and he received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And that was helpful because we were Baptist. And I thank God for the Baptist. I thank God for how they preached the gospel and how they loved me and brought me into the kingdom. They were precious, precious people. And I don't ever want to say anything disrespectful of them. I thank the world of them. But we heard his testimony about him receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And that night, we didn't receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit at that meeting, though they prayed for us at that meeting. We went home, and I went into the bedroom. Karen went to bed, and I went in the living room, and I knelt down there, and I said, God, I want everything you have. And I'm not seeking the gift of tongues. I'm not seeking things. Lord, I want you. I want you to baptize me in your presence. And he did. At that moment, it was like someone took a 55-gallon drum of hot oil and tipped it over the top of my head. I just felt this heat from my crown of my head down to the tip of my toes. And I saw Jesus. I mean, I had never experienced anything like that. I saw Jesus hanging on the cross. And when I saw him hanging on the cross, I knew he was hanging there for me. I mean, I knew I put him there. And I've never seen more love in a face or in eyes than I saw at that moment looking at me. And it broke my heart. It, in a good way. It just took my kind of a hard, difficult kind of a heart. And I'm telling you, his love penetrated my heart. And I kind of spoke in tongues. I'm going to talk about that more in another message. It was crude. It was kind of caveman talk. But I felt like the Lord was trying to, you know, speak, and I let it come out. And later it became, and today I've done this for 37 years. It's a very fluent prayer language that I understand that I'm going to explain to you more in this series. But it was just kind of crude. But I just can't describe the love and the peace and the power that I felt that night. And I cried and I prayed and I worshiped and I went to bed and I woke up. And I want to close this message by saying this. I woke up the next day and I felt powerful. I felt like I could do the do's and not do the don'ts. I wasn't perfect, but I mean, I felt power to live for God. Secondly, I knew God. I knew God. I didn't know about God. I knew Jesus. I knew the Father. I knew the Holy Spirit, not perfectly, not the way I know today, but drastically better than anything I'd ever known before. I mean, I knew God. I opened my Bible that morning. I understood the Bible better than I ever understood it before. And again, not the way I know it today, but my gosh, I started reading stories about Peter and Paul and John, and I thought, I know them. I know them. That's because the Holy Spirit in me is the one who is in them and wrote the Bible. Is that I knew these people, and my personality began to change. I began to be more loving. I began to be more peaceful. I began to be more godly in my personality. I'm saying I felt power. I felt intimate with God. I felt like I could read the Bible and pray, and I felt like my personality was becoming the person I wanted to be. I couldn't do any of those things the day before. I had tried since the day I got saved. It was about 2 years from the day I got saved to the day I got baptized in the Holy Spirit. I had tried every day to live for God. Couldn't do it. Was I saved? I was radically saved. I knew Jesus. I left everything behind. I meant business. But no one ever told me about the Holy Spirit. I didn't know anything about the Holy Spirit. And when He came into my life, I'm telling you, for 35 years, now that I've followed the Holy Spirit, oh my gosh, I love Him and He's so real. Oh my gosh, I could never have done this without the Holy Spirit in my life.
This concludes Session 2. Please continue with Spirit-Led, the next teaching in this series.